The Orlando Magic have won 11 playoff series in franchise history. All 11 came with a player they drafted number one. They won a few series with Shaquille O'Neal. They also had Penny Hardaway on the team, who they got when trading down from the number one pick the year after drafting Shaq number one. And then they were a consistent threat deep in the playoffs with Dwight Howard, who they drafted number one in 2004. Otherwise, a lot of stale years recently. The Magic have gone a dozen years without winning a playoff series, but Orlando has a chance to get back on track now. Landed the number one pick in the lottery tonight. Very glad to be joined by Kobe Price of the Orlando Sentinel. Thanks for coming on. And this is where I want to start. How much do you see this changing the trajectory of the franchise? I think some teams getting a number one pick matters more than others in terms of who they already have on the roster, where they are in team building, and also, very importantly, who the top prospects are that year. Some years it's better than others. But getting the number one pick in the 2022 NBA draft for the Orlando Magic, how much do you think that changes the franchise's overall trajectory?
Well, first off, thank you for having me on. I really do appreciate the invite. And you invite me into this space, but I think it's huge for the Magic. And this can be the kind of, this is the kind of night that can accelerate their rebuild. And it's not just, winning the lottery, but it's the opportunity to get, your guy, you get to identify, because sometimes, when you go, you're 2, 3, 4, you may not be able to secure your guy. You may try to move up. You may try to do a lot of different things, a lot of different mechanisms to get your guy, but you may not be able to get him because other teams value your guy more than others. So this is for them more than anything else to just give them the opportunity. And obviously, different front offices, in their previous success, different people running the team. But the history suggests that when the Orlando Magic get the number one pick, they get their guy. It is a franchise changing moment for them. It is something that's going to significantly alter their outlook, their future for the next, 3, 5, maybe even 10 years. So that's, and obviously how good of a player they're going to draft, that'll show itself. But the history suggests, not just with the Magic, but throughout, the league's history, that the number one pick, that is a franchise altering player. And I think that's what tonight means for the Magic.
Teams usually get it right. There have been years where I've been surprised who went number one. And teams often get it right. I think one of the classic examples is the Magic taking Dwight Howard in 2004. I thought that was going to be Emeka Okafor. Okafor was the more polished player, the successful player at UConn. Dwight was coming out of high school. You could see some upside from Dwight, but to make that leap and bet on that upside, well, yeah, that turned out to be very obviously correct. Dwight Howard, Hall of Fame career. Not really debatable, except for people who don't know what they're talking about. Emeka Okafor never here on that level. I think about Derrick Rose over Michael Beasley, where I'm like, oh man, somebody so productive in college. How are you going to take somebody over Michael Beasley? Turned out to be exactly correct. I think you nailed it when teams can take their guy and you have that top pick. Usually they get it right. They have all the info in front of them. But here's the big question. From what we know now, who is that pick going to be? From what you've seen, I think there are three players who are sort of in that top tier. But correct me if you see somebody else in contention for this top pick. But I think the consensus top tier is Chet Holmgren from Gonzaga, Jabari Smith from Auburn, and Paolo Banchero from Duke. Knowing what you know about those players, knowing what you know about the Magic, do you have a sense of who's most likely to be the top pick?
Yeah, this is – and the crazy thing is, you gather intel, you talk to people around the league, and a lot of it is, so preliminary because you until tonight you don't know where the Magic could be. They could have been at number six, and you're having completely different conversations about the kind of player that they're interested in. But to me, I think from what I'm gathering, from my understanding, I really think it comes down to two guys. You name two of them. I think it comes down to Chet, and I think it comes down to Jabari. And if you ask me right now, what was my instant reaction? I think Jabari is probably the guy. I think his skill set, especially offensively, his scoring skill set, his scoring versatility, is something that the Magic, because of this current group, because of this current roster, I think that's something that will really fit a need. I know we talked with Jeff Wellman. He said, there's really no need. There are, we're going after the best player. We're going after the best player. We're not trying to fit a need, or we're not trying to do any of those things, going after a specific position. But you look at the talent and the skill set. I think Jabari is the guy for them. And I also say Chet because Chet fits a profile that they've gone after, you know, previous years. You know, this raw potential talent, the height, the length, size, and just the versatility, you know, a versatile big. You know, we've seen it before with Jonathan Isaac, Mo Bamba, so on and so forth. And while Chet has the potential, I think Jabari also brings a certain level of security. You feel, you know, there's a feeling of, you know, no matter what happens, Jabari is going to be a very good player. There's a lot of questions about Chet, fair questions at that. But I think Jabari, you just feel like this is a guy who we're confident, more confident, is going to be, you know, a high-level contributor in the NBA.
Yeah, Chet Holmgren is such he's a unique prospect. He's more distinctive than a lot of players you get near the top of the draft. You know, the height of a center, the weight of a shooting guard, just so real thin it makes it hard to project. But a phenomenal defender in terms of blocking shots, his timing, his length, but he can get pushed around some. So maybe he gets stronger and fixes some of those issues. A lot of talent on the offensive end, somebody who can handle the ball, who can shoot from the perimeter. You know, not the deadly shooter that Jabari Smith is, but more of a playmaker, capable of getting inside and finishing with touch in ways that I think Jabari Smith can. Jabari Smith looks a lot more like players we've seen succeed in the NBA. He looks more like players we've seen, period, in the NBA. I'm not sure the same is true of Chet Holmgren. The Magic... the front office is led by Jeff Weltman. He is the team president. He has the highest ranking title. I don't know whether this is an accurate portrayal of how things are in Orlando, but I feel like relative to most teams, I hear more Jeff Weltman and John Hammond. I hear them put together, listed together, rather than, hey, Jeff Weltman's number one. We just need to say his name. John Hammond has the lower ranking title of GM. That's just title, right? In Orlando, the highest ranking title is president. That's what Jeff Weltman has. I'm not sure if I know yet a track record for Jeff Weltman as a drafter. He's been in Orlando a little bit, but I don't know his style. John Hammond, maybe I knew it somewhat, but he also had so much success with Giannis, a transformational draft pick when John Hammond was running the Bucks front office, that I wouldn't be surprised if there's an attempt to duplicate that. If John Hammond has significant sway, do you have a sense, and I know it's early and they're all figuring this out, you know, how does this break down? Is this Jeff Weltman's call? Is it John Hammond's call? Are they on the same page regardless?
Yeah, I think, you know, and you make a very good point, you know, and I should have said this earlier, like maybe it's more John's influence, you know, in terms of, you know, the size and, you know, those bigs, you know, those big, long, lanky players. In terms of, because we saw that a little bit in Milwaukee when John was there, right? In terms of the kind of players, the type of players that were drafted. So I should have prefaced that earlier by saying that was probably, you know, a little bit more, a lot more of a John influence with those selections too. Especially as Jeff was, you know, getting more into the role of being the head of the organization from a basketball person standpoint. But I think ultimately, you know, I think this is a, John has, you know, John is as influential as anybody else in the front office, but ultimately I think it's going to come down to Jeff. He's the ultimate, you know, decision maker with these kind of things from a basketball operation standpoint. So I think, you know, John's always going to have a significant influence. You know, John respects Jeff. Jeff respects John, and they all respect one another throughout, you know, the front office. But this is going to, for my feeling, is this is going to be a Jeff, you know, decision, or it's ultimately going to come down to Jeff's decision. And he's going to be influenced by other people within the front office. But this is going to be, you know, a Jeff Weltman. I guess you want to put it like a Jeff Weltman pick, if that makes sense.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
So I think what they were talking about of getting the best prospect available, not worrying too much about fit, is the exact right way to go. The Magic went 22-60 last year. I wouldn't be too concerned about fit with players on this roster. There's some solid young players, but nobody where I'm like, I need to build around them. Get me the best player with the number one pick in this draft, and I'll be thrilled and I can deal with everything else. But whoever that winds up being, you are going to have to deal with the fit concerns. I find it interesting this year that all three of the top prospects are all bigs. They're all front court players. There could be some debate of long term who's going to be a center or power forward or small forward, but they're all front court players. The Magic already have a few front court players in Franz Wagner, Jonathan Isaac, if he gets healthy, Wendell Carter Jr., Mo Bamba. How do you see, and you said it kind of comes down to two, and we can just stick with Holmgren and Smith, because for what it's worth, I don't have Paolo Banchero in that top tier personally. I just wasn't sure if the Magic felt otherwise. So we can focus on Holmgren and Smith. Do you think drafting either one of those, what effect that has on the rest of the roster, the incumbent roster, in terms of who would fit long term or who would become prioritized because they'd fit so well, who might they move on from, things like that?
Yeah, I think, you know, focusing kind of keen on those two, I guess I'll go with Chet for right now. You know, with Chet, you know, he comes with his questions and his concerns, but, you know, you draft the number one pick, you want to give them the biggest, you know, runway to success, right? Or set them up for success the best way you can. And that comes with opportunity, that comes with playing time, that comes with being put in the right positions on both ends of the floor. But like I said, just more so opportunity with playing time. And with, for the Magic, you know, they have a free agency class, or, you know, they have a couple of free agents this offseason. You know, the main one is Mo Bamba, restricted free agent, entering, you know, once free agency picks up. And, you know, if you draft Chet, you know, it's going to become difficult for the Magic to be like, yes, let's bring back Mo Bamba in addition to all the guys you name, you know, in addition to Wendell Carter, in addition to, you know, Jonathan Isaac, you know, if, you know, comes back into next season healthy, you know, in addition to the other, you know, all the bigs they already have. And so if you add Chet to that group, and it just makes it more difficult or makes it less feasible that, you know, Mo Bamba will return to the Magic. I'm not saying it's impossible, but that's just another guy in the big man room, specifically the, you know, the center, more lean toward the center room. With that, could they all play together or mix and match? Yes. But, you know, you want to allocate as much time as possible to, you know, Chet, so he could develop. And with Jabari, there's a little bit more versatility, I suppose. I guess theoretically, in terms of, you know, you're not as I'm not trying to say this. You're not as maybe the fit's a little cleaner, right? Like if you bring in Jabari, that's not going to impact so much Mo Bamba's playing time. Now, it may change how often Wendell plays the four versus the five. Same with Franz playing the four versus the three, Chuma Okeke playing the three and four. Like the lineups may change and how it looks on the floor, but that's also what the Magic are looking for. They're looking for versatile players, and they're looking to mix and match, you know, where guys play, their positions. Now, if I think if you do add Jabari, you have a little bit more flexibility in that sense, and it may not impact, you know, their free agents as much. But if you draft Chet, I think that just makes it a little bit more difficult to bring back a guy like Mo Bamba or even a guy like Bol Bol, who's also going to be restricted free agent this summer. It just makes those decisions a little bit more precarious, if I guess I'm going to use that word, a little bit more difficult, a little more sticky, because then you have, you know, like you said, you want to invest in whoever you draft at number one.
Jalen Suggs and Chet Holmgren played together in high school in Minnesota. There's a connection there, a friendship there. Jalen Suggs coming off a, for me at least, and I think some other people, a surprisingly poor rookie year. He was, I think, in pretty far over his head. Doesn't mean he won't figure it out. Do you think that that high school connection, do you think that matters at all in this pick, or is that just, hey, that'd be a neat thing if it ends up Holmgren and him reuniting?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more so the latter. It's a neat thing. You know, ultimately, the Magic are going to decide. You know, they're going to make their decision based on who they believe is the best player and the best player for this team. But it would, you know, I think they're aware it would be a neat story, a nice story, if, you know, if Jalen's able to play with Chet again. But I don't believe they're in the situation of that's going to influence them too much. I think this is going to be a basketball decision because, like we said earlier, this is a decision that can accelerate things, that can put you in a much better position, you know. Forget even 3 years, it can put you in a much better position for next year and can really accelerate and get things on the track that you want to be on, you know, when you start a rebuild, you know, in March 2021.
When I look at the previous era of Magic basketball, the post-Dwight Howard era of Magic basketball, where this team has really never been able to get off the ground to win a playoff series, and, you know, even making the playoffs a couple years with you know, Nikola Vucevic as the top player, didn't really seem to have much of a chance to advance in the playoffs. I think one of the big problems was even the draft picks that hit, nobody turned into a star in Orlando. Aaron Gordon, pretty good player, not a star. Victor Oladipo became a star, but only later. It took him a little while to figure it out. Jonathan Isaac maybe could have gotten to stardom with his injury. Definitely not counting on that. Jalen Suggs would need a ton of room for improvement. And stars can affect the games in different ways. Not every star is a leading scorer, but it tends to be that way. It tends to be the most impactful stars are guys with the ball in their hands who can create offense. And I like Jabari Smith. That's not his game as I see it. I think his two biggest skills, he's a lights-out shooter, you know, from three-point range. And he's also a very good perimeter defender. So that leaves some flaws. I don't think he's so good at creating his own offense for himself or others as he attacks inside in a way a traditional star would. And so I'm curious if you would think there'd be, maybe you see it differently. Maybe you see a higher upside there. And I do think there's the upside. You know, he has the athleticism. I think he can figure it out. Maybe you see a higher potential there. That's probably a better word than upside, because I can see the upside. And so maybe you think he's not, doesn't fit as I'm describing him, and is a different type of player and has more of that potential to be that leading scorer. And then my other curiosity is, you know, he's a tall guy, but his specialty is defending on the perimeter. He's not as good as a rim protector as you typically would have from maybe somebody his height. So how do you slot around him? You know, this is a positionless league in some respects, but I also think there's something to, hey, you just call somebody a center, a power forward, a small forward. It gives a clue of what type of players you need to put around that person. So if it's Jabari Smith, do the Magic still need to go out and get a more traditional star, somebody who's the scorer? And how do they build around Jabari Smith, who brings a lot to the table defensively, but a little different than you typically get from somebody as tall as him?
Right, yeah. So kind of coming back to, I guess, the first part of it, you know, but in terms of the potential, I think there is a, you know, the shooting and the perimeter defense are, you know, and not just, I think it's the versatility of the shooting, you know, the spot up ability, yes. But also the pull-up shooting is, you know,
yes.
Under, and I think what's also special is it's not just open. He, you know, he can do under pressure, turnarounds from the post. Like, there's a lot of, even
the
if it's
release
not a whole,
is so high. The, yeah. Like, he can get it off. Yeah.
Yeah, he can get it off from anywhere, no matter what's, no matter what's, what his position is. You know, he didn't do a whole lot of coming off screens and whatnot and handoffs, which handoffs were a big part of the Magic's offense, but he seems comfortable shooting no matter what situation he's putting in. Like, just, and he's so tall, the release is so high, it's just, he just needs to go up and it's, and he seems to be comfortable doing so. You do worry a little bit about the handle and I guess the his wiggle, because a lot, you know, that especially for a guy that size, you want to see a little bit better of a handle, a little bit more of a wiggle so he can create his own offense, like you're saying, in those high pressure moments or in the, you know, in the moments where, you know, a top star, a top player needs to get his own, you know, he needs to go out and get his own. He can go out and get his own in his different ways, but you want to at least see him be able to do it you know, with a handle, with a dribble, in different ways. So that concern is there. I do feel like, you know, a handle of all, you know, and maybe this is just me, maybe I'm wrong, but of all the skills, I feel like a handle is something that, you know, it won't ever be perfect. He's never going to be like what Kyrie Irving or Steph, but I think that's something that you can just, you know, over time you can work on with the guy, and the hand-eye coordination improves, and you can, that's something that he can improve just to be good enough to create his own offense. Maybe not so much for others. I know that's also an issue for him. He may not be the best playmaker, but he can at least get better at creating his own, you know, with a little bit more time as he adjusts the NBA defenses, as he works on his actual handle on his own, you know, offseason to offseason to offseason. And with the rim protection, I think that's what makes this Jabari so interesting, is that even if Mo Bamba, you know, you already have Wendell as a clog in the paint, if you want to call him that, a guy who can excel as a rim protector. So even if, you know, Jabari is on the perimeter a decent amount, you still have a, you know, a essence of rim protection with Wendell. And if you're bringing back Mo Bamba, you know, he showcased a little bit better rim protection skills without fouling this past season. So you can bring back guys, you can have guys who can protect the rim behind Jabari. And, you know, obviously, you know, guys get switched out, and maybe Jabari's in the paint, finds himself in the paint, and maybe Mo and Wendell find themselves on the perimeter. But you can still have, you know, there's always going to be length, because even a guy like Franz Wagner is also, he has length and size to disrupt as a weak side guy. So, you know, I think even if he doesn't excel individually as a rim protector, you know, depending on how Jamal maybe adjusts his defensive schemes or try to use the versatility of the other players around Jabari to make it, you know, a strong rim protecting team, because that's been a priority for Jamal. At least it was for Jamal this past season. You know, he prioritized the paint, and it was easier to do that with Wendell and Mo, you know, manning the middle. And maybe if you get Jabari in there, depending on what happens with Mo, maybe you have to change your scheme a little bit. But I do believe that Jamal is still going to prioritize protecting the paint regardless of who's drafting. I think that Jabari can fit in that depending on what those adjustments are.
And Jonathan Isaac can help with that if he's playing. I mean, it's tough to expect too much from him after all this time he's missed.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know I'm forgetting one name. I wonder why.
Easiest one to forget about.
It's also because I haven't, you know, I didn't actually cover a game if I'm playing. So I was like, I'm thinking of games as like, who was in what position, where I'm like, oh yeah, Jonathan Isaac. But yeah, didn't leave him out on purpose, just, you know.
Yeah.
Late recording and hadn't seen him play with my own eyes, at least in person. But yeah, even if, you know, depending, J.I. was, you know, as a rim protector, you know, that was one of his better skills, you know, as a defender. So you have guys who can, you know, if that's a weakness of Jabari's that doesn't develop, you have guys who can kind of help mask that weakness between, you know, Mo Bamba if he comes back, between Wendell and Jonathan Isaac, depending on how healthy he is. Like, you have guys in the system in place that can help protect, I guess, Jabari's weakness as a defender, or I mean, rim protector rather.
It's so distant, but like sometimes I just wonder, well, shoot, what if you just made Jabari Smith a shooting guard, right? You're not going to have the ball handling and passing that you'd get ideally from a shooting guard, but man, his ability to defend on the perimeter with his length and tenacity and quick feet, I think he'd hold up against shooting guards no problem. His shooting ability is there. You know, you mentioned he wasn't coming around screens a lot, but I think theoretically, it seems like he should be able to do that kind of stuff. I don't know. I think that you can get into some weird lineups if you want to go that route. You could get even weirder with Chet Holmgren. I don't know. I don't even know if it's worth asking you, like, how they would make him fit in, because he's such a weird player. Like, I feel like we just haven't seen anybody like him in the NBA.
Yeah, and before I want to touch on Chet, like, I want to mention that, yeah, with Jabari specifically, you could have, like, lineups of, you know, you could have lineups where Jabari is the four with alongside just one other big, Mo, Wendell, Jonathan, whatever. You could have lineups where Jabari is the three and you play like a jumbo lineup with Franz, Jabari, Wendell, Mo, or Isaac. You know, you could really, or I guess Jabari may be between the situation, but you can really, you know, I guess if you could have fun with it, right? Just having these big, you know, these wing, like two, couple wings, like bigger wings though, with Franz and Jabari, and then, you know, having two bigs who can space the floor and shoot. And, you know, it's not the what traditionally seen in the NBA, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Magic, this is assuming the Magic took Jabari, I wouldn't be surprised if Jabari played some more three alongside two bigs, just so, you know, to help flash those perimeter skills, but also keep that rim protection on the floor at all times. So that's never an issue. And with Chet, I mean, yeah, it's the on-court mechanisms matching. It's just, you know, he could play next to Wendell. He could play, I guess, you know, that's the concern. Could he be a big on his own, like be the only big on the floor? You know, there's other, like, there's a whole different world of combinations when you get a guy like Chet, because you don't know, like, his skill set is so unique, or his, you know, his potential skill set is so unique. Like, you kind of open up this book of just unknown, and you just have to fill in the pages with whatever, you know, whatever combinations, whatever thoughts come to mind.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot, and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Jeff Weltman and John Hammond got contract extensions earlier this year. Weltman took over Orlando's front office in 2017, and I feel like the core of his first several teams was mostly already in place as a team that made the playoffs in 2019 and 2020. Didn't do much in the playoffs, but on the first round without putting up much fight. And then took a step back and then made this decision to rebuild, trading I won't say all, Terrence Ross is still there, but most of the veterans, I think, getting pretty good value back, setting up the team to tank and get this high pick. And now it's all coming together where you can see long term how this could work, as we just talked about specifically, but just generally, you know, some solid young talent on the team. And now you have a chance to have a game changer with the number one pick. What do you think is the patience in Orlando for some results, right? Where it's all hypothetical right now. It's all, you know, fun to look to the future and imagine, but at some point people are going to want to see winning come out of this for a team. And sometimes this goes either way for a team that hasn't had much success in more than a decade. What is the patience level for this to build up?
Yeah. If you're talking within the organization, I think Jeff has continuously, I guess, preached patience, if you want to say that. You know, they've been patient throughout this process. You know, they were patient this year, you know, in moments they could have, I guess, if you want to say go after or gone after it. You know, they were patient, you know, with how they approached this season. They were patient with the approach of injuries and everything. So I think there's generally been a patience with this group and with the situation, with this rebuild. But as Jeff told us, tonight, you know, pressure is a privilege. They're privileged to be pressured with this, you know, with this opportunity to have the number one pick. And, you know, with the number one pick comes expectations of, you know, taking advantage of that pick, you know, picking the right player, and then not, you know, not I hate to say this phrase, but not dilly-dallying for too long, right? not saying, all right, we got the number one pick, let's see what comes after. No, and the thing with this that's interesting about the Magic is that they already have a lot of, lottery picks on their roster.
Yep.
They have Jalen, we talk about Jalen Suggs, a guy who really surprised people this year in Franz Wagner. A guy who I believe is going to make an all rookie team this season had one of the more steady rookie seasons that you see from a guy, and then you also have Cole Anthony. You have Chuma Okiki. Mobamba's going to be a restricted free agent. We'll see where it goes with that. But you still have Jonathan Isaac, who's hoping to come back from injury. You have Markelle Fultz, a former number one pick in his own right from 2017. You go through the list of names, you have a lot of former lottery picks, top 10 picks on this roster already. Wendell Carter Jr., another, number seven pick. Then you also have guys like RJ Hampton, Mo Wagner, former first round picks from not too long ago. So there's already a lot of young talent in place on this team. You're trying to look to add another, look to add a number one pick to this group. That's going to put pressure and expectations on this team to advance, I'll say it again, not dilly-dally too long. You get to that place soon because that's the deserved expectations of a team when they're put in this position.
I see the rest of that talent. I wouldn't be rushing to get good. If it turns out that whoever Orlando drafts number one just instantly lifts the team to playoff contention, that's great. I'm not running away from that. But if it's a rookie who needs some time and isn't quite ready, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world for this team to struggle next year while playing through that young player, giving him reps, giving him a lot of room to grow, and losing, and getting another high draft pick. I don't think that's an overwhelming amount of young talent already in place. And assuming you hit on this draft pick, it won't be too long till you're too good to tank to the very bottom of the league. Where even if you have a down year, you're looking at a low lottery pick, right? Take advantage of while you can still be drafting high. To that end, I do think there's been somewhat of a change. I think Sam Hinkie in Philadelphia really broke a barrier. And it's not like he was the first one to do this, although he went way further than anybody else had, but really broke a barrier toward being okay with multi-year tanking. And I could be cynical about this, too. I think Jeff Weltman is correct to preach patience. I think that's what the Magic have needed lately, to not just rush into this. And, you got to time it based on what's available to you and when it's the right time to scale up. But if you want to be cynical, well, if you're preaching patience, you're not going to get fired, right? If we're judging the Magic not on wins and losses, but just on, A, it's going to take a while, well, Jeff Weltman gets to keep this really great job he has. Who wouldn't want to be, running an NBA front office? A lot of people would love that job. He has one of 30 of them. And so the longer he can delay being judged on wins and losses, the better. That's cynical. The less cynical take is I do think this is the right strategy for the Magic. And so I think this particular lottery made it so it paid off around the league, not just in Orlando. The two youngest teams in the NBA last year, based on minutes played, were the Magic and the Thunder, and those teams got the top two picks. And so there's this added level of excitement to these young teams. It's not the Thunder last year where they were tanking and ended up with a lower pick. The third pick goes to the Rockets, who had the fifth youngest roster. So very high up on this list of youngest roster. And by the time you remember, James Harden was on the Rockets last season. The Rockets were trying to win around James Harden last season. Now, that didn't last long, but that's about as young as you can get when you're making that quick of a transition. The Rockets added four first-round picks there. Really transformed themselves into a young team. They get the number three pick. I think around the league, you're seeing from these young teams, they have these additional reasons now with these high draft picks to be excited, to keep fans engaged, and they don't necessarily have to be good yet. You mentioned already internally within the organization the feeling of patience. What is the level of patience / excitement? Because I think those things go hand in hand. Conversely, what do you think those levels are among the fan base in Orlando now?
Right. And actually, before I got to that, I actually agree, and I meant to say this, that Jeff told us even before the lottery, or maybe she told me that this, you know, the sentiment, or the, I guess you can call it the sentiment, like it doesn't change going to next. He's like, they're very much still in the camp of, they're trying to develop these young players and give them more playing time and seeing what they have. Now, the more cynical part of that is, we're not in any rush to get good anytime soon, like you were saying. But I think there is a point of, like, you know, a lot of, they do have a lot of young guys who you don't, you know, you're not really too sure about. So I don't think there is – I'm not feeling, you know, at least from inside the organization, I'm not feeling a rush to, you know, chase after the play-in tournament or chase after the playoffs. I'm specifically for this for next season, for the 2022-2023 season. When I answered earlier, I was thinking more like long-term, even like 3 years out. But for this upcoming season, I don't feel an internal rush to, you know, push for the play-in or push for the playoffs. I think they're very much – you know, without saying that, I think Jeff kind of said it himself, like they're very much in the mode of still developing, still, you know, trying to figure out their young guys too. Because to your point, you know, Jalen Suggs had a rough rookie season, but you know, we've seen it, especially from, you know, from ball handlers, guards, you may have a rough rookie season, you get an offseason of work and you come back even stronger the second season. You know, Markel Fultz returned from injury in February, got a, you know, 17, close to 20 games in. You know, seeing what he's out, you know, still, he still hasn't played that many, you know, something like less than 130 games, around 130 games in his NBA career. So just seeing what these guys have is going to be the priority. And when you have a number one pick, you can see what he has, and that's going to create excitement. And I'm going to tie this into the fans, but this is going to create excitement and buzz, and et cetera. And you can have that buzz without having to, you know, have the, I guess, the day-to-day pressure of, let's win these games so we can do XYZ being, you know, make the play and make the playoffs. There's just going to be so much excitement about having that young core on the floor, having that number one pick on the floor throughout the season. And with the fans, you know, I think it's – with the fan base, it's been such a – it's been so tough in terms of, you know, the past – I wrote it in my story, but I don't actually remember off the top of my head. However many tries before tonight, you know, they've either stayed the same or moved down. And when they won in 2004, they had the worst, you know, the worst record, and they had the best odds to get the number one pick when they got Dwight Howard. And that was back when it was a 25% to get the number one pick if you had the best odds. But before that, they hadn't moved up in a draft lottery since 1993 when they, you know, the Chris Webber trade for Penny Hardaway. So I think there was just so much relief and excitement just to be able to say that they're at the top, you know, of the lottery. They get the number one pick again after so much rich fortune, you know, top of the draft mountain, you know, relative to everything, to other mountains, I guess you want to call it that.
I love, they're excited about being at the top of the lottery.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you've been, you know, in the lottery so many times, that feels like the top of the mountain, right? Like, that's what I'm saying. There's many different mountains to this. You know, you're climbing the lottery mountain, and then you realize, oh, shoot, there's a whole other mountain to climb. We call that the playoff mountain. But or we call that the NBA standings. That's the other mountain that you want to climb, right? But, I think there's just been so much relief and excitement just to be able to get, you know, to not fall. Even if, to be honest with you, even if they stayed at number two, I think there would have been excitement just because, you know, that would have meant, all right, we didn't fall this year. They fell last year. Pretty sure they fell, you know, the previous two seasons they were in the lottery. You know, and that can be rough. And what's also been rough about it, the previous few seasons or, you know, two other seasons, is those times they've fallen, you know, a game-changing player was taken. 2018, they had the number six pick. Who's taken the pick ahead? Trae Young. I forget who 17 was, but, you know, that was the year they took Isaac. I forget who's taken directly in front of him. But there's always, you know, there's been this feeling of consistent game-changers have been taken right ahead of them. So now I think there's, even without getting to the idea of pressure or like winning, there's this excitement that the Magic can get their guy, whoever their guy winds up being, whether it's Chet, whether it's Jabari, the fan base feels like they're going to get their guy, and their guy is the Magic's guy, whoever they wind up, you know, Paolo, I know we haven't talked too much about him, but, you know, they're going to get their guy. I think there's a real palpable excitement for that.
In 2017, it was De'Aaron Fox to the Kings, one pick ahead, who's looked very good at times, not so good last season. Yeah. I'm going to put you on the spot here before we close out. Real quick on Paolo, because I'll throw him in here too, but you can say anybody you want. Paolo, I don't have as high. For me, it's a two-person race between Chet Holmgren and Jabari Smith. But Paolo does fit that archetype of more of a traditional star, somebody who can create his own shot, put the ball on the floor, attack the basket, drive and kick. It's the easier fit of a star. So I see the appeal there. I'm not sure the shooting is there. His defense was so inattentive. Like, I'd take him high in the draft for that upside, but I wouldn't take him this high personally. But I want to put you on the spot. You're in charge. You get to decide who the pick is. This is not a prediction on who the Magic will take. You know, you already said that you think Jabari Smith is the most likely, but it could be Chet Holmgren. Who would you take?
Yeah, I would go with Jabari. That's the guy who I think the Magic wind up taking, but also myself personally would take. I think for the reasons that we mentioned earlier, you know, the not just the shooting, but the versatility with that shooting, and then the, you know, the motor he has, the perimeter defense. I think there is, you know, the weaknesses with his handle, and, you know, how much offense can he create with himself, even for that size. You know, outside of, you know, the ball, I guess, being, you know, distributed to him in certain spots. You know, I think that's something he can definitely improve upon. I think there's also that concern about, like, him getting to the paint. You know, maybe there's sometimes a tendency to, you know, to settle for the tougher shots that are good for him, but maybe not always be, like, the shot that you want within the flow of an offense. I think some of those things, you know, there are some things that he can improve upon. No, I'm not going to say very easily, but I think those are definitely things that if he proves upon that, that's just going to change the outlook of his career. And I think he has the scoring, like the outline of a scoring skill set of a star player, if that makes sense. I know we mentioned, you know, Chet too, and we didn't talk too much about Paolo. You know, I think you mentioned at what point, you know, not having him as, I guess, in the same tier as Chet and Jabari, and I haven't either. I think there's a very clear skill set with him that could be appealing. You can kind of see, like, the makings of a star skill set. I think there are just concerns about his game, and I think even, you know, being around here at the Combine or being around people in the draft, you know, the draft lottery, that is, I think those concerns are, you know, shared amongst others. So for me, I think Jabari's the guy. And whether the Magic see the same thing remains to be seen. But for me, I think Jabari is the guy who should be taken with the number one pick.
Reserve my right to change this before the draft, still digging deeper into these players. But at this moment, I think I would lean toward Chet. I'm just so intrigued by the combination of the defense, the shooting, the ball handling, the ability to score efficiently from inside the arc with his craft, with his touch. Not sure how it's going to end out. I've sort of learned that when somebody's biggest problem is they're not strong enough, that's usually not too big of a problem. He's 20 years old. I've got confidence he's going to get stronger. Most players do. And he's already a solid player inside. So I think that would help him. I think he plays stronger than he is just in terms of his style and his comfort among with physicality. But Jabari Smith could absolutely become the best player in this draft. He might, by the time the draft rolls around, he might even be my choice for number one. Ultimately, it's not going to matter who, you know, we think should be number one. The Orlando Magic are going to get to decide that. I'm very much looking forward to following your coverage leading up to the draft, tracking which way the Magic are leaning as they learn more about this. And then whoever they pick, following your coverage to learn more about that player and the track of his career. This is ideally for Orlando, a 15-year decision. This is not anything short-term, and it's going to be fascinating to watch it play out. Kobe, thanks a ton for coming on.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate you again for having me on. We talk again. I may be like, oh, no, Chet's the guy. To be honest with you, I've been going back and forth about Chet and Jabari for weeks now, so I also reserve the right to change my mind. So if y'all hear me say, I say Chet. Don't say anything to me. Just know I am going back and forth just like everybody else.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.